He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Before you have a panic attack, it is not Thursday, it is Friday. But Dr. Brown is making an exception because the diner tour has really taken him out until we're done with it. But there's so much going on with infectious disease news right now that I'm like, can we please make an exception? Because we've got people who are emailing me like crazy and I can't answer their questions, but you can. And so he is here, our peace of mind in the medical field. Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Melissa?
Oh, I miss your voice. Because let's be honest, you had vacation a couple weeks before the diner tour. It's like a good 2 months.
I did travel, but it wasn't Spain. And
let me be clear.
I'm not infected.
Good. Well, I'm glad.
I'm not carrying anything.
But you had a nice time. Good vacation time. Good.
Absolutely.
Good. I'm glad. Man, that you can't take a break from this show because the news with infectious disease. I'm telling you, and this happens every year, Dr. Brown, where we're playing a good 8 week catch up because of diner tour. I got to figure this out because I don't know why, but this is now the third year in a row where it just seems like everything explodes in infectious disease. And I'm like, oh, well, we'll talk to Dr. Brown in 2 months. We can't do that. So let's backtrack a couple weeks. Let's start with hantavirus. Am I even saying it correctly?
Hanta. You are. And I think you know, it's pronounced both ways. So we call it hantavirus.
Hantavirus. Well, I want to say it how you say it. So hantavirus. Okay.
Yeah.
It's haunting people, making them think it's 2020 again. That's for sure.
The outbreak occurred, and I was like, oh, Melissa's going to want to talk about this.
That's not good when you're like, oh, no, that girl's coming for me. But yeah, immediately I wanted to. But let me go with the very first question, which drives me nuts, and you know what I'm going to ask. Is this actually COVID 2.0? Because I could lose my mind with all the newscasts that are like, yeah, this is COVID all over again. I'm like, but is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, thank you.
And it's actually really interesting because when it did occur and there was sort of the outbreak of hantavirus, and I'll explain sort of what it is. I know the news media kind of jumped all over it, you know, initially, and it was great because they were like, this is contained. This is not something that spreads. This is not a big deal, during the week. And then like Friday occurred and it was like, oh my God, this is going to be the new COVID.
It's a slow news week. Let's tell them it's COVID 2.0. Yeah. But it reminds me, Dr. Brown, of a conversation you and I had, I want to say a year or two ago, where we discussed how easy it is for a spread like this to happen on a cruise ship. Because remember, what was it? There was a school district. I want to say it was in Hartford. It was in Northern Connecticut, where more than 100 kids were sick with, I want to say, the flu, or it was
neurovirus.
That's it. Neurovirus. Yes, that's exactly what it was. And I had said, is this something to be alarmed about? And you're like, no, because let's remember, it happens on cruise ships. It can happen in schools. And so that's what this reminded me of. We just haven't heard of hantavirus.
Absolutely. And let me tell you a little bit about hantavirus.
Yes,
and
please.
There's a couple different strains or major strains related to hantavirus.
Okay.
I think in the early 1990s, this is the first time it was seen. It was actually called the Sinombre strain. Oh. It was actually identified in the Four Corners. So it was actually in New Mexico, Arizona, very dry areas. So let me just sort of really quickly go through sort of what it is. So it's a virus that's associated with rodents, and it's actually associated with the rodents' feces. So what happens is that the rodents will actually nest in an area. There'll be a lot of feces. It dries out. And then when it dries out, a human breathes it in and ends up getting hantavirus. That's has been the majority of the occurrences throughout sort of at least the U.S. That's what we see. And you know, Gene Hackman's wife was actually diagnosed with hantavirus. A different strain, but also that, again, that would not be surprising that you would have something like that in that area. So it is something that occurs. It's something that is rare, I would say very rare. And it's one of those reasons why we take precautions when we are cleaning out old cabins, infested areas with rodents, because it's the actual feces that becomes the issue. And I think that's important on sort of when I explain the next. But I'm sure you have a question.
No, I don't. I think that you explained it really nicely. First of all, that I've heard that there's a couple of different hantavirus, I don't want to call them strains, but there's different variations. Okay. I guess my biggest concern that is anybody's concern is how likely it is to get it. Because the thing that I think bothered me about the whole COVID 2.0 was, to me, this wasn't something that if you, you know, so remember with COVID, if you sneezed on something, you know, you could spread it that way. And so it doesn't seem like it spreads the same way as COVID.
That's correct. And that's exactly right. So you have to have, so again, I'm going to say have to with little bunny ears, have to have exposure to the rodent feces to actually get it. It is not typically a person-to-person virus. So it is a respiratory virus. It actually is in the family of viral hemorrhagic fevers. Again, a scary word, and probably we'll talk about with Ebola, because it is actually the same category. So the viral hemorrhagic fever is what sort of the category that it's in, but they transmit a lot differently than a coronavirus or an influenza virus. Those are actually transmitted. Those are respiratory viruses. They are part of a normal respiratory tract, and then they're easily spread between person to person. This is not easily spread person to person. And this variant, the strain that is there, this is actually the Andes virus, so also hantavirus, but it's the Andes strain. The Andes strain has a small possibility, a low likelihood to transmit person to person. And if you're in very close quarters and you're sort of on top of each other, then there is a possibility of spreading. And that's why this was actually of a bigger concern. So there's definitely exposure to several people related to rodents. And then it ended up going back into the cruise ship. But it's still, I mean, given the size of a cruise ship, the amount of people that were actually diagnosed with it, who are actually diagnosed, not they didn't necessarily get symptoms related, it was only 11 cases. So right now there's 11 cases in the world. Just to make sure we like to level set, 11 cases of this. So this is not hundreds, and in COVID by this time we already had hundreds of people who actually had it. This is 11 cases documented by a lab. So it's not even that they actually have even symptoms related to it.
Okay. I mean, Dr. Brown, do things like this, especially because, you know, obviously we are, I think, still kind of traumatized by COVID, which I think we're always going to be. I think anybody who lived through COVID is going to be traumatized. And anytime we hear about something, first of all, that's a new name. So for us, it's hantavirus is new. For you, obviously, it's not. You know, obviously more about it. But is the right approach to be when you learn about a new, at least for us, new virus, you know, is it something that we should be, I don't want to say like, you know, sound the alarm about, but should we be kind of rechecking our habits of the whole, you know, sanitizing, things like that? Or should we be, you know, traveling differently? Should we be thinking about, you know, how do we prevent a spread if we were to do something, especially international, which is kind of where we're going to go with Ebola next? You know, are there things that we should be thinking about when these things pop up? Not necessarily I'm going to get it, but, you know, should we be thinking smarter, especially if we're going to be traveling or being in close quarters like a cruise ship?
So that's actually really interesting, and I think you and I spoke about this in the past, and, you know, I think I said to you, and I know I said it multiple times, so I'm sure I said it to you, is that, you know, we've gone into a new era of infectious diseases.
Mm.
These infectious diseases have always been here. They're not new. They're actually been here, but we've just not really been aware of them. And with globalization, you are seeing more. And the bigger concern is that now we're seeing mutations and changes.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't hear much about hantavirus because, you know, a couple people in Arizona may have been exposed, and, you know, it was one or two people, and that was it. You know, someone worked in their cabin, and they ended up getting hantavirus. Now we're talking about, you know, a cruise ship. You know, so there's definitely a concern that people need to have, but I would not say a concern. I would say more of an awareness. You know, infectious diseases are living organisms. They're viruses, they're bacteria, they're fungi, and we are populating. There's more of us. They like that. They will adapt and adjust, and they go through evolutionary changes a lot faster than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to try to survive longer. They're going to try to survive and continue on their, let's say, species.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, Dr. Brown, to your point, if we don't take away the lessons we got from COVID, then I don't want to say it was a waste because none of us asked for it, but I do think there are things that we could be thinking about. You know, we do talk about sanitizing, for example, if you have shared spaces at work or you have, you know, your, if it's not something that you clean all the time, your kitchen counter, for example, where you've got a lot of hands, whatever the case may be. I mean, another one that you and I have talked about before, and I know there's always controversy around the vaccine, which that's a whole different conversation. There's controversy around using a mask, but something that you taught me, and honestly, knock on wood, I have been on planes multiple times since COVID. I've never gotten sick again. I do wear a mask on a plane. I always do. And the reason I do is because A, I don't think the planes are cleaned as much as they claim that they are. I don't. I'm sorry. There's plenty of proof saying that they're not. And the second thing is I don't know how clean the people are who are there or after. And to me, I have not gotten sick once after being off of a plane in the last four years. Absolutely. And I have to give credit where credit is due. I think it is because I wear a mask, honestly. So I just think like there are things that we could be thinking about, and they're very simple changes, but I almost think we wait until these outbreaks happen and then it's like, whoa, here we go, starting all over again, but not necessarily.
Absolutely. And I think things that we've talked about before about global infectious diseases and, you know, emerging pathogens in other countries, I think we need to keep, and again, we emphasize this quite a bit in my specialty in infectious diseases. We need to be aware of these. We need to know what's going on. We need to see what the changes are and be willing to make those, you know, changes and be willing to be that. But I would say, as, you know, again, as the population continues to increase, as, you know, as it's easier to get around the world, we just need to be more careful about, you know, making sure. And I think you have a great point. You know, we need to be careful about what we're breathing and what we're touching.
Just something to think about. We've got Dr. Brown here, and from hantavirus to Ebola. Got to talk about Ebola, Dr. Brown. I won't even give the preface of it, but I know a few people wrote in about this. I know if you look at the top stories literally being updated, you know, as you and I are talking, it talks about the Ebola fears and, of course, the surge on the grounds of Congo right now, having it spread to a national. But I want to talk about the reality here in America and obviously specifically in Connecticut.
Absolutely.
I'll give you the floor. Yeah.
And again, these are obviously really tough ones to talk about because, you know, in a way, it's sort of what we're expecting to see. In a way, it's kind of scary, but again, not. I want to keep emphasizing the fact that these are very low numbers of things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with viral hemorrhagic fevers, they essentially burn out. So they essentially, someone gets infected. Unfortunately, in the Zaire strain of Ebola, they pretty much die, and they die quickly, and then it doesn't move on. So again, sounds callous, but that's actually how that prevents spread, because there's nothing that's there. This virus itself you need to come in contact with it. So you really need to touch it in some way or another to get it. And it's a lot of virus that you have to be exposed to. Unfortunately, the people who get infected with it, they initially are fine. And then later on, as the stages move forward, it becomes more severe, and there's more virus that can actually be transmitted, which is the bigger concern. With our regular management of public health, we can contain this pretty easy. It's pretty obvious that's there. So those are the good bad news. Unfortunately, this one actually has a little bit more bad news associated with it.
Okay. So, well, listen, don't shoot the messenger, but certainly I'd rather know it. So, yeah, what do you mean?
I figured. So the difference here is that this is not the Zaire strain. This is actually the even I have to take a minute to say it. It's the Bunde Buyo strain.
Okay.
So the Bunde Buyo strain. It is actually
The Z strain. It's the B.
The B strain.
There you go.
So the B strain. So the Z strain, the Zaire strain, actually has, there's a vaccine that's very effective for it, and the antivirals actually are very effective for it.
Okay.
Right now. And it's also, again, really important for us to keep a close eye on this. The mortality rate for this is actually less. Which you say, well, that's a good thing, right? Not necessarily.
Just because we don't have enough, but people who have contracted it?
Well, no, it means that if you don't end up So with the original Ebola, it essentially burns out. Mm-hmm. So every, you know, when you get to that stage where you have Zaire Ebola, it has a very high mortality rate. So the people who get it end up dying. In this case, the people who get it end up living and can potentially carry it and spread it to other people.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's sort of an evolutionary thing about Ebola, where it would burn out. This one has a potential not to burn out.
So
and
then,
that's the concern about this strain. So again, right. We need to develop a vaccine. We need to develop treatment.
How quickly could we do that, though? Because here's the thing, Dr. Brown, because obviously, of course, that's going to be the question from people. But this is not really, correct me if I'm wrong, Ebola hasn't really been an issue for America. I mean, this is
correct.
Not something that, why would we be working on a vaccine here? But how quickly could we essentially find something or create something?
That's actually the really interesting thing about COVID-19, about 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah, we can have a vaccine. I'm sure we already have it in the works. With the mRNA technology, we can have a vaccine easily. I'm sure there's a vaccine that could be in production easily within 6 months. But so that's the bad news. So there is still some good news. This is very uncommon. The case rate is a lot more, though. We've actually, we're probably seeing about 575 cases that occurred, and about 50 people have actually died. But the area that they currently are in and the area that's there is not an area that was easy to warrant off, and it wasn't easy to detect because it was a different strain. So it's actually in an area where there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of there really isn't a lot of World Health Organization interaction into this area. And that's, again, not surprising. So it's an area where we just couldn't really get into, and that led to more strain, you know, the more spread within that area. But I think it looks like it's pretty much contained from that standpoint. I just feel bad for the people who are actually there.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Oof. All right. Do you have any concerns, especially when we have so many global things coming out? I mean, the World Cup is probably the most that people are.
So from that standpoint, no.
No.
I think we have. So it's not a new drug. It's not a new virus. Even though we don't really have any treatment for it, it's also not something that we see on a regular basis. We know that it's contained within an area within the Democratic Republic of Congo. So we know where it is, what it is. We monitor it. Anybody who comes in and out, there's travel bans, so there's not a lot of people that are going to be coming out of it. So I know from the U.S., they'll be monitored if you are coming back from that area. And then anyone who does not have a U.S. passport won't be coming to the U.S.
Okay.
So it'll be a slip through. But even then, I mean, it's not necessary, you know, unless you're in the late stages of Ebola, it's not necessarily that easy to transmit.
Okay.
If you're in the late stages, it's very easy to transmit if you touch the person. So again, it kind of goes back to washing your hands and, you know, being careful what you're breathing in.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Brown, I appreciate you, you know, again, getting off schedule and coming on a different day because for understandable reasons, lots of concerns surrounding specifically infectious diseases. And so I appreciate you giving us the time and I'll figure out the next time I can get you back on. We'll try to figure this out. Because
my pleasure. Yeah. I said I think both things are unusual. I think they're worthwhile to monitor. But again, I think there's no reason not to have an enjoyable Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's a good way to end it. Dr. Brown, thank you so much. And we will be in touch again really soon.